Welcome to the Michigan Association of Broadcasters award-winning Monday Night Lights with Brad Allen on KJC Country, 104.7 FM and WKJC.com.
It is indeed Monday Night Lights. So many things to get to. I don't even know where to start today when we're talking all of the things that have happened with sports in the Lions and Michigan football. And I really don't know where to begin today. I've got plenty of venting to do. I more than ever want to hear your guys' opinions today on the Lions game, on what you think of Jim Harbaugh leaving. Shoot me a text, 989-362-3417. Monday Night Lights brought to you by Bogey's Indoor Golf of Tawa City, the Erickson Family Insurance Agency of West Branch, Klaus Family Ace Hardwares with 18 locations, Kevin Hummer Accounts at Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Dallas and Northeastern Window and Door of Harrisville and Alpena. We're going to start today the way we always do with the high school stuff. I will get to Michigan and I will get to the Lions within for much of the hour. Don't worry about that. But we had a couple of great games this week, and let's get you updated as we've got over about the halfway point of the high school basketball season. So it'd be a good time to kind of recap where some of the conferences stand right now as we speak, which, by the way, you can check out anytime at WKJC.com. But let's go back last week. Augre and Whittemore Prescott doing battle in two teams that desperately needed wins. Augre came in with, I believe it was two wins on the year, and Whittemore came in with one, and here's how that one sounded.
Back to Smullen at the right wing. Wanted the three, had the ball poked away by Aiello. Landon Aiello dives for the basketball, knocks it off of Smullen, and it goes to Whittemore Prescott.
Really, really nice hustle by number 32, Landon Aiello, just laying out for that one. Brad kicks it inside. This is Cockrell. Cockrell fires it down low. Great catch. Branson Belleville with great hands as that one was fired high and went up and in. Cards by two, 16-14, and a steal. Inbound to Landon Aiello, picked it off, and a steal and a four-point lead for the Cardinals.
Verduzco's going to get a steal. It's one-on-one to the rim. Lucas Verduzco up at the lane. No good. Great defense by Landon Aiello. Ball saved to Levi Jones. Back out Verduzco. Right wing three. Knock it down. Jones is by himself down the lane. Goes up. Off the
just
window.
Like that.
One-point game.
Just like that. That's what I've talked about all night.
Dump down low Belleville. Belleville over Jones. Had it blocked. Rebound, Belleville fights through the contact and lays it in. Man, what a second half for Branson Belleville. Our final score, Whittemore Prescott 38, Augre 32.
38-32, Whittemore tops Augre. And Brad, you're saying, Brad, why are you starting a show with a 38-32 win between two teams, schools that are combined 4-21 now? Well, the reason is because I think this matters. This game matters for these two programs. This game matters as a look at high school basketball in Northeast Michigan. One thing I have talked about a ton is the lack of JV programs around Northeast Michigan. And I've talked about it a lot in this show, in pregame shows, during games, all of it. And Jeff and I have talked about it at length. And here is an example of that situation. This was a lot of sophomores on a basketball court. A lot of sophomores and freshmen between Whittemore Prescott and Augre. Two young programs that are in complete reset mode right now as they have entered a spot where not a lot of upperclassmen are playing basketball. And it showed on the court. And I say this as no, you know, disrespect to these two teams. There were 77 turnovers in that game. There was 32 minutes. There were 77, and that wasn't the count we had at the end of the night. That was the count that I had when I went and edited the game and looked back at it. So that's every time we mentioned a turnover. There might have been a time or two where the ball got turned over multiple times, and we just kind of skip it and just go with what happened last. 77 in the game. It was 39-38. There weren't that many points in the game. And I give tons of credit to the crowds that were there. The two student sections were rocking. Of course, a lot of people were there in general because that was a huge fundraiser night for Whittemore Prescott. But Also, I give those student sections a ton of credit. They raise the energy in that gym. And these two teams need to learn how to play in these games. You're just not going to learn a lot if you're Augray or Mayo, if you're going to go and lose by 45 points to Alcona and 50 points to Hillman and 30 points to Oscoda and insert teams that are better than these two teams. You're just not going to learn a lot. This was a great learning opportunity. It got them into the environment of playing varsity basketball. It got them into a game that was close all the way to the very end, where they actually had consequences for what they were doing in the fourth quarter. Augray ran into foul trouble. Two of their best players, Cole Pendred and Lucas Verduzco, couldn't play at the end of the game because of foul trouble. Verduzco actually came in the late fourth quarter and hung around for the entire time. But Cole Pendred, he got fouled out on a double foul away from the ball, something that you just don't expect a senior to do, and they were calling all sorts of different things throughout the night. There were plenty of fouls to go along with the turnovers. I don't know how much I agree with it, but it doesn't matter. It's just a situation where these teams have to learn how to win. And playing in a game like that is a big deal. But one thing Jeff mentioned during the broadcast, he mentioned to me at some point as well, is, you know, with all of these sophomores out here, we wouldn't be complaining this much if that game was played at 6 p.m. If that game was played and we slapped the JV label on it, nobody would say a thing. People would say, oh, that was a really competitive JV basketball game. We don't have to worry about it. Because that's what the life of these teams are. They're so young. There's a couple of upperclassmen in each of these schools. But there's just not enough varsity players. And I'm not sure how much you can grow a program when your varsity team is having to take on these much bigger schools or much bigger programs than what Augray and Whittemore have had to do. But instead, they get to play each other, and it was a really great game. I wouldn't even say anything about either of these schools if, or any school that runs into a situation like Augray and Whittemore were in. They said they're not playing varsity basketball. They're only, you know, they apologize to their seniors because juniors can play some JV. They apologize to their seniors, say, you know, hey, we are apologizing that we don't have varsity basketball, but we are going to play a JV team in a JV schedule. I wouldn't even be mad if schools did that, because you got to grow the program. And if you just can't put great varsity teams out there, and these two are not great varsity teams right now. They're young teams that are learning. That's, again, not being mean to these schools. They're freshmen and sophomores. They need to learn how to play these games. But when you have 77 turnovers in a basketball game, you have to take a look at the situation. And the situation that I look at there is, man, it's nice having seniors play, but you got to grow programs here and you got to do what you got to do. There's no right answer. If the schools decide they want to play with the seniors and, you know, the 2-11, 2-10, they just got to kind of work their way through it, and this year will be a build year and they'll work their way up, that's fine. That's a fine answer. I have no problem with that. I'm just saying that there is another option. I don't know if it's a better option, but there is another one. All right, another team that's in a rebuilding year is Tawas. Of course, after they went to that long run in the playoffs last year, best team in this area by far, maybe outside of Standish last season. They took on Ogemaw Heights in Ogemaw Heights on Friday night. Myself and Jeff Erickson had that one, too.
Potter up strong, no good. Rebound big time inside. That's Hawk, no good. And Potter with a rebound, and he's going to get the bucket and the foul. Pressure into the front court, kick it over into the corner. That's James Bond. And again, from the corner, nothing but nylon. Two in a row for James Bond to bring it back to 11-6. Into the front court to Jones. Jones, triple try into the corner. Angel Potter for three. And it's 14-6, Falcons.
And that's 10 for Angel Potter already. A hot start for the junior.
And turnover on the other end. Potter takes it away, coast to coast, and another bucket. That's Angel Potter with another one, 16-6. 5 seconds left. Tawas up top. This is Rosenau looking for a shot. Last second shot at the buzzer, and count it! Kyle Velasco off the glass.
Works to the right wing, tries to dump it down low, then to McDaniels. McDaniels got another one with the foul. It's shoved off the ball, able to fire it back inside to Hawk, goes down low, and got it with the foul. That's Dominic Smith. Bond goes up top. Edwards, deep three, right wing, knock it down.
Great look there. NBA three-point range for the freshman. Going the other way is Rylan McDaniels. Euro steps and spins to the hole. Through contact. Bucket for Rylan McDaniels. And it's a 19-point lead just like that.
Ratliff to Karbowski. Has it poked away by Edwards. Edwards the other way. One on two underneath the rim. Goes to the right side. Got it with the foul.
Yeah, really, really nice up and under. He went up on the left-hand side. Goes all the way underneath. Switches to the right hand. Lays it up. Draws the body contact. Fights through it for the bucket. And he'll get the and one.
Screen by Kane. Gets Hawk open. Kick to the corner. Dominic Smith. Step back. Inside.
Nice
pass. Rob Hawk open underneath the bucket. Dominic Smith turning on all the moves.
Moved outside, looked like a point guard with a nice little wrap around.
Ogama Heights controls it all the way through. They win by 25, 71 to 46.
Game went on and a run for Ogama Heights. They started with a 9-0 lead, took the control in the first quarter. Second quarter, they again extended their lead, but Tawas kind of worked their way back at the end of the quarter, and then a 31-point third quarter put it away for Ogama Heights. They went nuts in the third quarter. It was steal, layup the entire time. Angel Potter led the way, 23 points. He had 7 steals, I believe. Rylan McDaniels had 20 points. Ogama Heights, man, when Angel Potter is the best player I've probably seen so far this year. I think he's really, really good, and I think he should be on the court like 28 minutes a game, and he should be touching the basketball in just about every play. He's the best defender I've seen. The way that he can turn defense into offense is ridiculous to me. Angel Potter's the best player I've seen so far this year, and I really love the way he plays. He beat Alcona with a big play at the end of the game. The speed that he has to get down the floor, he's faster than everybody else on his team. They can't even keep up with him. And then just the steady presence that is Rylan McDaniels, really, really good. They got from their big guys, they got production. Ogama Heights, they got production from their bench. They won that game by 25. They could have won it by more. They did a great job, and Coach Jennings did a good job. That game got within 13 at halftime. He put the pedal to the metal in the third quarter, ran his press, ran everything he could to get a big lead, got a big lead, and then took the foot off the gas the rest of the game. And at the end, they were trying to get bench players' shots. Tremendous job by Alex Jennings and by the Ogama Heights Falcons. They did everything right in a 25-point victory. And for Tawas, I saw some nice pieces. One thing Coach Ruben Edwards mentioned in the interview before the game that I think a lot of people agreed, that Tawas is now 4-9. And that's not great, especially where they were last year. But, and as Coach Edwards said, and he said correctly, a lot of people didn't think they were going to win 4 games this year. And they're at 4 now, and their schedule actually eases up a little bit the rest of the year. So I do believe they'll end up with quite a bit more than 4 wins the rest of the year. So I give Ruben Edwards has done a fantastic job with this team, winning games they can win and trying to hang around in games they can lose. The freshman, Ruben Edwards, is really, really good. You can see the coaching he's had growing up, and that he's going to be a darn good basketball player for Tawas for each of these next 4 years. He might be their most consistent scorer right now, but they're handling this the right way. They're using the 5-quarter rule. He plays 2 quarters on JV, with getting used to his future teammates and to playing at the high school level, then they put him in for varsity for 3 quarters. I think that's a great way to handle Ruben Edwards. They've done a really good job with that. Then they have some other players who I thought were really good. Caden Rosenau, I don't know why he came off the bench. Caden Rosenau has got in the game and just completely flipped the momentum for Tawas a little bit. He runs the offense really well, sees the floor really well, and I don't know what it is about there's these teams that have, because Rosenau's not a tall guy. He is quite short, but he runs the offense really well, gets to his shot, and he can shoot. Gets the ball to other players. Really like Caden Rosenau there from Tawas. This is my first chance to see the Braves this year, and I thought they had pieces. They got some work to do. There's no doubt they have some guys out there who you can tell are seniors who don't have a ton of experience, but they've got some pieces, and if they can keep the group together, they're young. Their JV team's pretty much all freshmen. They're young. They're going to have a good program that's building from the ground up. And if you have a Reuben Edwards as kind of your centerpiece, they're going to be competing with teams starting next year. They're going to be right there with some of the teams when they enter the North Star next season. They're going to be right there in the North Star League Big Dipper. All right, so let's take a look at some of the conferences and the teams in the area. And even though Standard Sterling has kind of faltered of lately, they're, I believe, 9-1 at one point. I think they've lost three in a row, or they've lost three out of four, something like that. They still hold a lead by a half game in the Tri-Valley Blue over Midland, Bullet Creek, Millington, Hemlock, and Carlton. Really good conference. It's won a lot of conference games. They have four teams that are over 500 out of the five, and Carlton has beaten a couple, won a conference game, which means they're beating good teams. So even though Carlton's 5-8, they're pretty good. So Standish being in 9-4, still a solid basketball team. They still have a lot to learn from the run that they made last year. The North Star League, it seems like there's a stranglehold a little bit on each division. Even though the conference records are close, I'm not sure you're going to see a change in the North Star Leagues. I hope that we do. Some chaos would be nice. But Hillman's got a stranglehold on the Little Dipper. They've got a game and a half lead over, game and a half lead over Posen. They've got a two game lead over Hale at 5-0 in the conference. And Trenton Terratuta, who's just a fantastic player, went over 2,000 points, set a school record with over 50 points in one of his most recent games with 11 threes in that game. He's really good. North Star League Big Dipper, Alcona, one game lead over Oscoda. Alcona is 4-0, but they handled Oscoda the one time they played them. They will play again. We'll see if that said more about Alcona or more about Oscoda. But Oscoda 3-1 so far in the conference, 11-4 overall for Alcona, 9-4 overall for Oscoda. And then down the way, you have teams like Roger City. Charlton Heston, who's faltered of lately, they're 7-5 in the year, but 1-2 in the conference. They've won some conference games. And Mayo Asabel, it's a war of attrition for them. They had five guys against Alcona last game I had with them. They're 1-2. They're 6-7 on the year. And you only got six guys possible because there's seven guys on the roster. One of them you can see was in a sling. Not sure they'll play the rest of the year. And then that leaves you with six. So even at best, you have six guys in the year. Mayo, it's a war of attrition for them. All right, let's take a break. We come back. We will dive into all of the things that are happening with the world of sports, both Michigan and with the Lions. And I think we're going to start with the fresh stuff first. We'll start with the Lions game from last night. That's coming up next.
Kevin Hummerk House at Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Dallas wants you to step into a new ride with a new Chevy model like Equinox, Colorado, Trailblazer, and more. If your lease is coming up in the next 8 months, contact Kevin today to pre-order one now to help ensure your perfect ride will be available when you need it. Kevin Hummerk House is committed to getting you a great vehicle with confidence and peace of mind. Contact Kevin Hummerk House for details by calling 492-1788. That's 492-1788. Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Dallas Chevrolet. Find new roads.
We're Northeastern Window and Door.
Start off the new year with a new laminate floor. Our stone plastic composite vinyl is an engineered luxury vinyl that combines limestone and stabilizers to create a stable core that is 100% waterproof and dent resistant. Our Harrisville store stocks eight of today's most popular colors. Our January special on this luxury flooring is $299 per square foot, normally $349 per square foot. Northeastern Window and Door of Harrisville and Alpena is your local source for your lumber, roofing, siding, hardware, and rental needs. Store hours Monday to Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 9 to 3.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Odds are, there's an Ace right in your neighborhood with expert advice and the right tools to make your quick fixes even quicker. Around the clock, what you need in stock with people who know their stuff. Welcome to the Home Convenience Store. Stop into Klaus Family Ace Hardwares, proudly serving you since 1914 with 18 convenient locations. Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Does your goals for the new year include paying off debt, consolidating payments, refinancing, or doing a better job at saving money? Why not schedule a financial checkup with a financial coach at Alpena Alcona Area Credit Union? With over 50 certified financial counselors, we are here to help you reach your goals in 2024. Visit our website at aaacu.com or contact an office near you to schedule your appointment today. Federally insured by the NCUA.
Everything we do.
In 2024, are you looking to purchase your first home, refinance your current mortgage, or possibly purchase a new home? Not sure how to get started, or maybe just have some home loan questions? Contact a member of the mortgage team at Alpena Alcona Area Credit Union. With offices in Alpena, Atlanta, Sheboygan, Lincoln, Oscoda, Assiniboine, Posen, Rogers City, and Taos. We are an equal housing opportunity lender, federally insured by the NCUA.
Our Daily Bread bulk food in Whittemore should be on your shopping list if you like to save money. Our Daily Bread bulk food, located just south of Whittemore on M65. They offer bulk packaging, baked goods, candy, spices, deli items, frozen foods, dairy products, snacks, and more. Check out these weekly specials.
Honey ham, $4.89 a pound. Sweet Lebanon bologna, $7.09 a pound. Hard salami, $3.99 a pound. Sharp cheddar, $5.69 a pound.
Our Daily Bread bulk food, M65 Whittemore.
Bernard Building Center customers, do you have your phone app yet? Available at Google Play and on the App Store. This handy app lets you check pricing, inventory levels, place orders for pickup or delivery, and so much more. Contractors, use the app to manage your Bernard Building account from home, on the job site, or almost anywhere. If you shop at Bernard Building Center, this is an opportunity not to be missed. So download your free Bernard Building Center app from Google Play or the App Store today.
You're listening to Monday Night Lights with Brad Allen on KJC Country, 104.7 FM and WKJC.com.
Tune in tomorrow at 5:45 p.m. as myself and Brian Catfish Johnson bring you the Oscoda Owls taking on the Miowa Sable Thunderbolts. We will bring you both varsity contests. Both the girls' varsity at 6 p.m., which is why we're going on at 5:45, and, of course, the boys' varsity at 7:30-ish, right after the girls' game. It's going to be a great matchup tomorrow. Hopefully, Mia McGregor plays. I know she missed recently with an injury. Hopefully, she'll be good and ready to go for a big-time North Star League Big Dipper matchup. Last time in this game, Mayo, the girls' side of things, they beat Oscoda 59 to 44, Mia McGregor scored 44 points. So really well done by her. Alrighty, let's get into yesterday's Lions game. And, man, to go from the joy that I felt at close to 7:30, 8 o'clock, to where we were at 9:45. I've been on this earth now just over 27 years and 14 days or whatever. And to go from that joy all the way down to that defeat, I think that's the worst loss I've ever felt in my 27 years of fandom. My teams have been pretty good. I'm more of a Tigers fan than anything else. I love the sport of baseball, and I watch just about every Tigers game. But the two times they've made the World Series in my life, they've really never had a shot. They're 1-9, or 1-8, excuse me, in the World Series in my lifetime. So I'm really not worried about the Tigers in the World Series. Michigan's lost some tough ones to Ohio State as a big Michigan fan. All right, that's there. But when you add in the history of the Lions, and then you take it in that you give them a 24-7 lead, this is the most devastating loss I've ever had as a fan. And it's not close. This is worse than, because the thing that I was said was the most devastating thing as a fan to me was the Armando Galarraga perfect game. The Jim Joyce call at first base. That was the most devastating thing to me because of history. And I think that this is worse because this wasn't affected by an official. This wasn't affected by anything but the Lions themselves. The Lions have nobody to blame for yesterday but themselves. And especially the players. And the first thing I'm going to do is defend somebody. So one thing that I've said, I think I've said it on here, I've said it to all of my friends when we're talking about the Lions. I've said it to anybody who will listen. Anybody who wants something, a part of a team that's bad, in this case for the Lions, it was the secondary. All year I said, you can't ask the secondary to play better. There's no reason in asking for something that's not possible. So in this case, yesterday, I'm getting texts, I'm getting messages in our group chats, of course, from all my Lions fans. When Dan Campbell decides to go for a fourth down with a chance to make it a 3-score lead with a long field goal. Long-ish, under 50 yards. But instead he goes for it on 4th and 3, on 4th and 4. He goes for it just across midfield twice in the second half. And I want to talk about each one and what they meant. Let's go to the first one. By the way, both dropped by Josh Reynolds. Let's go to the first one. The Lions in total control at this point. 24-10 lead. They, even though San Francisco marched down the field, they only got a field goal. And the Lions decided to go for it. And one thing, I was watching the game with my wife and my parents. And I said to anybody who would listen to me in the room that we have San Francisco on the ropes. You absolutely go for it here. And you try and just put your foot down and say, nope, we're shutting this down. We're winning this game right here. Because if the Lions would have scored and gone up 31-10, that game is over. It's over. San Francisco would have kind of had that mental flip that they weren't going to come back. Even if they put together some offense, it just wasn't going to happen. That it had been too much of a mental challenge. And Goff steps up away from pressure, doesn't look comfortable doing it because Goff is terrified of anybody running at him, and throws a ball slightly offline, but one that Josh Reynolds should have caught. So let's go to the second one, the one people are more concerned about. You have a lead of 14 points, a chance to make it a 3-score lead. And you hit a wide open Josh Reynolds right over the middle, and he drops it. Wide open Josh Reynolds right over the middle. And fans say, why didn't you just kick the field goal? Go up 3 scores. And I think what you guys are forgetting is 2 things. One, who the heck is the head coach? How did the Lions get to the NFC title game? Wasn't by kicking field goals on 4th and 3 at the 30-yard line. That's not how they got here. You live and you die by the sword. Because if what number 2 is happened, how would you guys have been mad? If Dan Campbell elects to kick the field goal there, and Michael Badgley, who's under 50% from that range, missed it. Then what would you think? Then I'd be seeing all over Facebook and Twitter. Then I'd be seeing, what, Dan Campbell, he lost his mojo. He didn't go for it. He always goes for it. See, Dan Campbell got soft. There was only one thing that would have made you guys happy, and that's them kicking that field goal and making it, and it didn't have as high of a percentage as going for it would have. The Lions in that situation, 4th and 3 or less, were over 60% all year. Kicking in a field goal was under 50. The right decision was made. This isn't about coaching mistakes. This isn't about Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell did a great job. Would I have kicked the field goal in a couple of situations? Yeah. But I'm going to live and die by the Dan Campbell sword. I would have kicked the first field goal when the one that the throw was a little bit low and away from Josh Reynolds. But I said immediately, you've got to go for these things. On the second one, you've got to get momentum back. You can't be Dan Campbell and kick that field goal there. I'm looking at the players. That's who I'm looking at. The scheme was right. The plays were there. Big players didn't make big plays. Jamison Williams starts off the game with a great run, right? 54-yard touchdown, up 7-0. But what after that, I look in the second half when the big-time players need to make big-time plays. And I look at Jamison Williams on a deep ball, on a flea flicker, not making a catch. Did he drop it? No. But I compare it to someone in center field needing to make a dive for a catch to get an out in a big spot. And even though you can't say you expect them to make the catch, you do expect them to make the catch. If Jameson Williams is going to be a big-time receiver, that's a catch he's got to make. On the flea flicker, down the left sideline, he was the only one who can catch it. Yeah, were there guys on him? Yeah, but they weren't restricting his arms. He could have made the catch. That's one. Then, of course, the two drops by Josh Reynolds. Two drops on fourth down by Josh Reynolds. And, of course, Jahmyr Gibbs fumbling the football. I can live with a rookie fumbling. I can live with it if it wasn't with the other two guys. If it wasn't with Reynolds dropping the ball. The ultimate safety blanket didn't make catches. Amon-Ra St. Brown should have had a couple of more catches. I'm not going to sit here and yell about tackling and yell about the secondary leaving guys open or them not being able to keep Brock Purdy in. They haven't been able to do any of those things all year. But the team always made plays around the defense. And yesterday they didn't. Goff didn't put the ball in harm's way yesterday. But instead, we have a ball ricochet off a corner's face. That's what we had. We had a ball ricochet off a corner's face and go to Brandon Ayuk for 50 yards that led to a touchdown. But I look at the offense. You had 24 points at halftime. I know they scored 31 points. They needed more. They needed 38. And they win that game 38, probably 31, because if they score, they're going to not leave as much time for San Francisco to get down the field and score. I'm looking at the offense. David Montgomery was very good. No complaints. Jahmyr Gibbs was good outside of the fumble. Laporta was good. Didn't see him make a big mistake. You're in the NFC title game. Not everything's going to work great, but when they leave you open, you've got to make plays. That's the problem. It's not Dan Campbell going for a 60% play over a 40% play. Michael Badgley, not great kicking from range. He just isn't. According to Legends Sports, the Lions were 15 of 20, that's 75%, at converting 4th-and-3 or fewer in the regular season, plus 2 for 2 in the postseason. 17 of 22. Michael Badgley was 9 of 20 in his career from 48 yards. You tell me he made the wrong decision. What's a better choice? 9 of 20? Or 17 of 22. Don't go after Dan Campbell now. Because I've seen the last 4 or 5 weeks, and I've seen nothing but positives about Dan Campbell. Now all of a sudden they lose a game. And we're back to Dan Campbell lost us the game. Look, I've admitted being wrong about Dan Campbell. I was wrong. When we were 0-10-1 and then 1-10-1, I wanted him out of the building. I was not buying into his rah-rah, build a culture stuff. But I was wrong. And his over-aggressiveness. We got a text in here, 9 of 11 for his last 2 years in Detroit. Yeah, but look at 48 yards plus. Look at distance. If you just look at the Lions on fourth down, the Lions on fourth down were middle of the pack to below the pack all year. But 4th-and-3, they're great at. And Greg Olsen explained to you why yesterday. And I'm not just talking to our text, you're talking to everybody. They throw the ball short and they run it in spots where everybody else throws it deep. They trick you. From 48 plus, Michael Badgley just isn't consistent. And Dan Campbell has been consistent all year in saying he's going for that. He's gone for the win all year. All year. And he went for it yesterday and we didn't make the play. And I'm devastated because of it. And maybe do I wish that the kick, instead he would have kicked it and it would have gone through? Yeah, but I'd have been way more mad if he kicked it and he missed it. Way more mad. That 4th-and-3 call is not even in my top five of plays yesterday, outside of the fact that he dropped it. But, man, I look at Purdy scrambling. I look at Melifonwu missing a sack. I look at Jahmyr Gibbs fumbling. Jamison Williams not making a play down the field. That's what I look at. I look at a team that wasn't ready to finish that game out when everything in their DNA says they should. Now, give a ton, I've yet to give credit to San Francisco. That team was the best team in the NFC all year. And they showed why in the second half. But the Lions had them dead to rights. Dead to rights. 24-7. You would think in the second half, the Lions would run the ball with David Montgomery just all day. Outside zone, inside zone, traps. Run it out of shotgun. All of those. The moment got too big. And you see this with young teams and young coordinators and young everything. You see this. I do have hope. I'm going to project the next year a little bit because I'm going to stop yelling about this game. Projecting the next year a little bit, this team is still young. Now, they have work to do on defense. Yes, they do. They have work to do. But what you hope is that this loss keeps the edge that the Lions have, right? The grit, as the word they use. You hope that this loss keeps it. You hope. Because you see this, and Dan Campbell mentioned it yesterday. You see that this is tough to get to, and Dan Campbell mentioned it's tough to get to here. Yes, it's tough to get this far. And he's not sure the Lions ever will make it this far again. Let's face it, the Packers look like they're a really good team. Winning the division, this is the easiest year it's going to be to win the division. Kirk Cousins will be back next year. The Bears will probably have a new quarterback. And the Packers look like they're really good. The Bears, you know, the Vikings, Kirk Cousins, and the Packers look really good. It's not going to be easy to win the division next year. And I like Jared Goff, but was this Jared Goff's best season? Might have been. But you hope this loss keeps the energy going because they're young. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be one of the best running backs in football. If he isn't already. Sam Laporta is going to be one of the best tight ends in football if he isn't already. You see the pieces on defense. Hutch, Branch, Jack Campbell's nice. But it's getting everybody else. It's getting a couple of guys in the secondary who can make plays besides Branch. Melifonwu came on nicely, but Melifonwu, is this his Kirby Joseph year? Kirby Joseph didn't make a lot of noise this year. Melifonwu made some noises here in the Kirby Joseph spot. Same texter in, that 9 of 11 stat is from 40 to 49 yards. He's 2 of 3 from 50 plus. Now, there's a stat I didn't know. That does change my opinion a little bit. That's a really good stat. If you just take away the career and you go to just recently, Michael Badgley's been better. It doesn't change my opinion on what they should have done. But tell you what, now my only argument is that Dan Campbell just is Dan Campbell. And I'm going to ride or die with him. And the play was there. It was the right play. He was there, but man, really good stat there. You got me there. You got me. You win. You win that argument. Ed Craner there with the text, and he gets me. But I look at the Lions from next year, and this team, they're young. They're going to be really good. Now let's just hope that they can take that next step. And when we have a spot,
We don't have Ben Johnson running the ball on third and goal against a ferocious front who was probably going to be pretty sure you were running the ball when you lined up in single back formation with a bunch of tight ends. If Ben Johnson's even back, there's a good chance he's going to be the Washington Commanders head coach. We'll see where this team goes. But yesterday was the most devastated I've ever been as a Lions fan. And it was a pretty devastating week because Jim Harbaugh left too. Let's talk about that next. It's Monday Night Lights.
Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Dallas wants you to step into a new ride with a new Chevy model like Equinox, Colorado, Trailblazer, and more. If your lease is coming up in the next 8 months, contact Kevin today to pre-order one now to help ensure your perfect ride will be available when you need it. Kevin Hummerkaus is committed to getting you a great vehicle with confidence and peace of mind. Contact Kevin Hummerkaus for details by calling 492-1788. That's 492-1788. Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Dallas. Chevrolet, find new roads.
This edition of Monday Night Lights is proudly sponsored by the Erickson Family Agency of West Branch. As your local Farm Bureau agency, we are here to service all of your insurance needs. So if you're looking for farm, home, auto, commercial, life insurance, even retirement options, let us provide an individualized plan just for you. Come see me, Jeff Erickson, in downtown West Branch, or call 989-345-0230.
Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Odds are, there's an Ace right in your neighborhood with expert advice and the right tools to make your quick fixes even quicker. Around the clock, what you need in stock with people who know their stuff. Welcome to the Home Convenience Store. Stop into Klaus Family Ace Hardwares, proudly serving you since 1914 with 18 convenient locations. Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
The Dallas Area Sports Boosters are proud to support Dallas Area School Athletics. High school athletics builds confidence, builds teamwork, and helps all students both on the field of play and in the classroom. This week in Dallas Athletics. On Wednesday, varsity wrestling hosts Grayling at 5 p.m. JV and varsity boys basketball will travel to Houghton Lake. JV at 5:30, varsity to follow. Varsity hockey will travel to Saginaw to take on FNV at 7 p.m. On Friday, the basketball teams will travel to Midland Calvary Baptist. JV boys at 4:30, varsity girls at 6 p.m., varsity boys around 7:30. Varsity hockey hosts FNV at 7 p.m. On Saturday, varsity bowling travels to Vista Lanes in Oscoda at 11 a.m. Varsity hockey will host Tri-Valley at 4 p.m. This message brought to you by Alpena Alcona Area Credit Union, Barnacle Bills, Carroll Broadcasting, Dean Arbor Ford and Dean Arbor Chevrolet, Huron Coast Dental, the Dallas Bay Beach Resort and Conference Center, Dallas Bay Insurance Agency, and Dallas Hardware and Lumber. For more information, visit the athletic calendar at Tawas.net.
Hungry Howie's Pizza in East Dallas, Oscoda, Alpena, and Bad Axe is now open 7 days at 11 a.m. And right now, get Hungry Howie's Mix and Match, just $6.99 each. A medium one-topping pizza, a regular or three cheese or Howie bread, any regular oven-baked sub, regular salad, Howie cookie, or Pepsi four-pack carrier. Mix or match any two for just $6.99 each, plus the new mac and cheese bowl, flatbread two-topping pizza, or three-topping no-dough bowl. Log on and order now at HungryHowie's.com. Mix or match for just $6.99 each at Hungry Howie's today.
Asable Trans and Gear offers complete bumper-to-bumper car repair, automatic and manual transmissions, tune-ups, brakes, steering, suspension, clutches, axle, and flywheel. Your drivetrain specialists. If you want competent auto repair with a quick turnaround, then you want Asable Trans and Gear in Oscoda. They get it done on foreign or domestic, commercial fleet. It doesn't matter. Asable Trans and Gear, 701 US 23 Oscoda, can do it all. Your car, truck, or SUV is even road tested for free. Call 739-5000. That's 739-5000 for Asable Trans and Gear, 701 US 23 Oscoda. Go to doing it right the first time.
Monday Night Lights, Brad Allen here with you as we make our way through your Monday evening. Don't have time today to get into ABC Sports with national stuff, so, be bad news for us anyway. We're going to have to talk about the Lions. We don't want that. Also, Make sure you get to Bogey's Indoor Golf, both Tatawa City and Alpena. This is the last week for the Pebble Beach Fundraiser Scramble. Funds are being raised for the high school teams. The Pebble Beach Pro-Am Tournament this Sunday. You can make a reservation online or by phone. Bogey's Indoor Golf, Tatawa City and Alpena. For the look up Bogey's, Tatawa.com. So let's get into Jim Harbaugh. Because we can argue back and forth about what the Lions should have done in situations, but let's face it, players didn't make plays. And that's something that Texter Ed here and I can agree on. Players didn't make plays. But we can hopefully agree on, all of us, as I am definitely not a Los Angeles Chargers fan. And I have lost a huge amount of respect for Jim Harbaugh. Maybe even all of it. Jim Harbaugh announcing that he's going to take the Los Angeles Chargers job this week was about as big of a slap in the face and a punch in the gut as a Michigan fan could take. Jim Harbaugh, the ultimate con man, the ultimate grifter. And it was when I heard the news, I was driving home last week. When I heard the news, I thought, man, I feel used as a Michigan fan. Because I don't know if you guys felt this way, but I know a few of my friends and I do. That national championship feel a little dirty to you? Feel a little gross? Like it was a cloud over it? Because one, the sign stealing thing that seemed like it is, maybe it's not a big deal. Maybe it's not even a deal. Maybe it's just a small deal, but it's something on that national title. And you have... You didn't have to play Georgia. You didn't have to play probably the best team. But Michigan beat the teams in front of them, right? 15-0. They beat the 15 teams that they played this year and can't argue with that. But Harbaugh leaving is the ultimate con. And I never have gotten more angry at a coach than when he said, "I'll always be a Michigan man." Because, no, you're not. You've tried to leave so many times, it's not funny. You went to the school. You played for the school. Give you that. You're not a Michigan man. Get the heck out of here with that. Absolutely not. Nothing has made me more angry than him saying, "I will always be a Michigan man." You're a con man. You're a grifter. That's what you are. And you've wanted out from the minute you signed the contract with Michigan. It was your escape from the 49ers. And the minute you signed that contract with Michigan, you wanted out. Now, Jim Harbaugh is a great football coach. Great. And he won a national title at a school that I've loved since I was young. Okay, cool. Now, why can't you stay and build the program? It's not like Michigan wasn't going to pay you. If there were even a single report that Michigan was kind of iffy about how much they were going to pay Harbaugh, that they didn't want to make him one of the highest paid coaches in the league, if there wasn't a lot of support from the president and from the AD, then you know what? I would not have as big of a problem as I do today. But when all of them are telling anybody who will listen that they want to sign Jim Harbaugh for the next decade at an insane amount of money, and he leaves anyway, that tells you it had nothing to do with Michigan. And don't say he wanted to leave when he won a national title, because he wanted to leave last year, and he wanted to leave 2 years ago. He wanted the Minnesota job 2 years ago, and he wanted the Denver job last year. He wanted out. So it wasn't about the national title. It wasn't about that. It was about himself. And Harbaugh's a good coach. He loves football. He's going to do his job where he's at. But he had no intention of running Michigan any longer than he had to. None. And so I don't say good riddance to him. I don't. I wish he was still the coach today. But I can tell you right now, There is no respect from Brad Allen to Jim Harbaugh. None. Not that that matters to Jim. He's going to go chase a Lombardi trophy. Good for him, I guess. And he's elected to go chase it in a division with the greatest quarterback of a generation. A guy who is on pace to be better, have better career numbers, have more Super Bowl appearances. He's outpacing Tom Brady right now. He's not there yet. He's got to keep doing it. But he's outpacing Brady right now as he enters his fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. You're going to go enter in that division. Good luck to you, Jimmy. You're going to do it at a historically poorly run franchise that, let's face it, doesn't even own their own stadium. They rent from the Rams. What in the poverty franchise is that? With a quarterback who's never won anything, is just a nerd hero, and an aging roster that's bad at drafting. Jimmy, you can go try and build your college culture in the NFL. It's probably not going to work because people get real tired of you real quick. Take the NCAA, for example. Every time that you made a mistake, they kept on telling you, stop doing that. And you just kept doing it. You just kept screwing up. From Burgergate, where I've yelled on this show before about how does somebody have their hand in the cookie jar and not just admit that their hand is in the cookie jar. Instead, the NCAA, watching Jim Harbaugh make mistakes, watching Jim Harbaugh break rules, said, hey, Jim, what you doing? And he said, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then they suspended him. And then people said, the NCAA is after Harbaugh. Yeah, they're after people who defy them. Every other school self-imposes bans. Colorado just self-imposed a recruiting ban a week ago. You didn't even know there was an investigation into Colorado. They just self-imposed one. That's why the NCAA didn't like Jim Harbaugh. Because he wouldn't just admit when he was wrong. Because he's all about himself. He doesn't care about Michigan. I have to take one last break. When we come back, I'll tell you why he doesn't care about Michigan.
Bogey's Indoor Golf of Tama City offers a premium year-round golf experience featuring the industry's most accurate golf simulators. Choose from hundreds of local and famous courses. Bogey's now has a full bar stocked with beer, wine, and liquor, so they have you covered for a fun night out. Bogey's Indoor Golf at the south end of Tama City on US 23. Check them out online at bogeystawas.com. That's bogeystawas.com to schedule your tee time today.
Start off the new year with a new laminate floor. Our stone plastic composite vinyl is an engineered luxury vinyl that combines limestone and stabilizers to create a stable core that is 100% waterproof and dent resistant. Our Harrisville store stocks 8 of today's most popular colors. Our January special on this luxury flooring is $299 per square foot, normally $349 per square foot. Northeastern Window and Door of Harrisville and Alpena is your local source for your lumber, roofing, siding, hardware, and rental needs. Store hours Monday to Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 9 to 3.
Meet Cheryl.
Hey.
She's on vacation and lost in the moment. Unfortunately, so is her Chase debit card.
It's gotta be somewhere.
Maybe she lost it at Salsa Night.
These skirts should have pockets.
Or maybe she lost it at Pilates.
Three and two and...
But she's not worried. With the Chase mobile app, she can lock her card till it turns up. Tools that help protect. One bank that puts you in control. Visit chase.com/checking. Chase, make more of what's yours.
Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JP Morgan Chase Bank, NA member FDIC.
You're all set with your Medicare prescriptions, Mrs. Brown.
This is not just low-cost copays at Walgreens.
I can actually help you set up 90-day refills if you want.
This is having a partner you can trust. Get low-cost copays, 90-day refills, and delivery from your neighborhood Walgreens. This is being independent, together. Walgreens.
Restrictions apply. For details, see walgreens.com/pharmacy.
Bernard Building Center customers, do you have your phone app yet? Available at Google Play and on the App Store. This handy app lets you check pricing, inventory levels, place orders for pickup or delivery, and so much more. Contractors use the app to manage your Bernard Building account from home, on the job site, or almost anywhere. If you shop at Bernard Building Center, this is an opportunity not to be missed. So download your free Bernard Building Center app from Google Play or the App Store today.
Hey, you're up next.
Ugh, my throat hurts so bad. There's no way I can sing tonight.
Here, try these.
Vicks VapoCool Drops.
Yeah, Vicks VapoCool Drops has maximum strength menthol with a rush of Vicks Vapors.
Ooh, I can already feel it.
I told you. So, you ready?
I'm ready.
Please welcome to the stage.
Vaporize sore throat pain fast with Vicks VapoCool Drops.
Hey, Brent, love the color. If you had to choose, would you watch paint dry or compare benefits plans?
Compare benefits plans, obviously.
But you know how complicated benefits are, right?
Well, I run payroll with Gusto. Gusto makes it easy to find benefits like medical, dental, and vision for my whole team.
Whoa. Oh, sorry. I'm gonna need new glasses.
Don't worry, you're covered.
Choose benefits without the mess. Visit gusto.com/radio to sign up for free.
I mentioned before the break that Jim Harbaugh doesn't care about Michigan. He's not a Michigan man. He couldn't care less about the University of Michigan. It's where he went to school. And here's why I believe that. And I'm going to tie this back in. I only have a few minutes left, but trust me, I'll tie it back in. One thing I love about my head coach, Ty McGregor, is he always talks to me about how his players leave everything better than where they left it. Every school he goes to, they try to make an effort of leaving everything better than the way they found it. I think that's a great idea. It's a great sentiment when you're leading young men to preach that type of thing. And Jim Harbaugh might sound like he preaches that type of thing, but his practices show, do whatever you want for yourself. And when he was doing it for the University of Michigan, I kind of turned a blind eye to it. I was mad when he made recruiting violations and mad when it turns out he might be stealing signs. But now he's leaving. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not like now that Jim Harbaugh is gone, there is not going to be repercussions for the sign stealing. That's not how this works. While Jim Harbaugh may be quote unquote held responsible, it's Michigan who's going to be punished. Sharon Moore might get suspended for what Jim Harbaugh did because of the rule that the head coach is in charge of the program. They may have to do that. And if they can't suspend him, they may vacate wins from the record book. Jim Harbaugh lit a match on his way out the door after dousing the Michigan football program in gasoline and threw it behind him and walked away without looking back. He did not leave the program better than where he left it. He sapped everything out of it that he could for himself, whether legally or not, and then threw it away. Then set it on fire. It's what he does. Jim Harbaugh does everything for himself. Did you see him on the pregame show yesterday for CBS? Talking about how, I love Michigan, but there's no Lombardi trophy in college. Okay. But there is a national title that, honestly, up until this upcoming year where there's 12 teams in the playoff, was harder. It was more exclusive to get to. And there's no parity because the good teams get the best players. It's not like the NFL where the bad teams are supposed to get the best players. Looking at drafting, recruiting, the good teams get the best players. So it's harder to knock off the top dog. But, sure, Michigan man, Jim Harbaugh. Yet again, giving you another Jim Harbaughism BS on his way out the door. He's a great football coach, but he's all about Jim Harbaugh. And he's all about the Harbaugh name. He's all about impressing his brother and impressing his dad. That's it. Jim Harbaugh has nothing about himself. Or about others, I should say. About anybody that isn't named Harbaugh. The Chargers, he didn't care. It's not like he cares about the Chargers organization. He cares about Jim Harbaugh. That's Monday Night Lights.
You've been listening to the Michigan Association of Broadcasters award-winning Monday Night Lights with Brad Allen. Tune in every Monday from 6 to 7 p.m. on KJC Country, 104.7 FM and WKJC.com.